I'm Cindy and I'm part of the Shallow Reefs team, and I'm actually pretty excited to talk to you guys today about some of the urchin work we're doing in Ningaloo. So to start, just along the bottom here, I have a variety of pictures of urchins from Ningaloo, all from intertidal area of Ningaloo. Basically, they're just small marine invertebrates from the class Echinoidea, but urchins actually play an integral role in coral reef systems. As herbivores, they can mediate competition for space between algae and corals, and they actually can modify the reef itself and or what's known as bioerosion, and I'll give you a specific example of exactly what I mean by that in a couple slides. They can be a food source for fish, as well as some studies have used them as an indicator of coral reef health. But I think another reason why it's important to study not only urchins, but other less studied organisms to fill potential knowledge gaps. Most of the studies in coral reef ecosystems have really focused on fish and corals. So we're lucky in Ningaloo, there have been previous studies done on urchins, so we do have some knowledge, the majority of which focus on this one in the bottom left, Echinometra mattei, or the burrowing urchin. It's about 7 centimeters in diameter and builds these burrows, these kind of elongate burrows in the reef. And these previous studies show that in Ningaloo, they're the most abundant urchin. However, when we went to Ningaloo, we found another urchin that was quite abundant, the Echinostrephus molaris, or what I'll call the mole urchin. And they're a much smaller urchin. They're about 2 to 4 centimeters in diameter. And unlike the burrowing urchin that makes the elongate burrows, they actually make a finger-like projection, like a hole in the reef that they live. And they're actually 100% suspension feeders. So this picture in the bottom left is actually from Japan. These are mole urchins surrounding an encrusting coral. And the picture on the right is our picture from Ningaloo, and it just shows you these little black dots. They're actually all mole urchins. So we've been doing benthic surveys throughout Ningaloo. So what we thought we could do is use those benthic survey photos and actually try and quantify these two most abundant urchins and get an understanding of how they're distributed and how many that there are. So I told you that I would show you what their burrows look like. This standard benthic photo picture maybe doesn't look like much, but actually here, this groove here, that's a burrowing urchin burrow. And again, all these little holes are actually mole urchins. So in this particular photo, there's 9 Echinometra mattei, the burrowing urchins, and there's 19 mole urchins. So our criteria for quantifying an urchin was when we zoomed up on the photo, if we could positively identify that it was an urchin, say by the spine or something like that. So we've conducted over the last 2 years, 100 of the benthic surveys, which encompass 126 different individual transects. And that means we've analyzed almost 4,000 photos. And the transects are mainly distributed in 3 regions, Jarabi, Mangrove, and Osprey. The habitat has been either inner reef habitat or shallow near shore habitat, as well as on the outer reef slope. So that's in about 8 or so average meter depth water on the outer reef slope. These transects also occur in sanctuary zones as well as outside sanctuary zones, so that's the pink areas. And at each site, we have a measure of rugosity or an index of the structural complexity of the habitat. We're getting an understanding of the percent algal cover and percent hard coral cover. And as far as an urchin is concerned, that would be an index of food availability or an index of competition for space. And also, as Mick just said, we have an index of bottom velocity or water movement, which in the case of the mole urchins, I would have hypothesized would have been important. So what we then did was we looked at every combination of these variables and tried to determine which combination accounts for the maximum variation in the urchin abundance. And it came out different for each species of urchin. For the burrowing urchin, it was algae, management zone, and rugosity. Whereas for the mole urchin, it came out as habitat, region, and rugosity. So I just want to take a moment to actually show you what that looks like. So here I've plotted the variables all against the abundance of the urchin. In this case, again, I'm talking about the burrowing urchin, and if you just notice on the y-axis, the abundance goes from 0 to just over 70. That's 70 individuals for about approximately 10 square meter area. So as algal cover increased and as the rugosity increased, so too did the abundance of the urchins. This wasn't that surprising. I would expect them to be distributed in relation to their food source, as well as the reef is more structurally complex. But what was a little more interesting to me was this here, where there was actually less burrowing urchins in sanctuary zones as compared to the non-sanctuary zones. So we wanted to look at that a little further. And again, I'm just showing you the exact same graphic here, but on the right, what we did was we used the fish data to look at if we could equate that with how it relates to the fish data. So we looked to the literature to find out what the most probable predators were, and we came up with a predatory fish index. And indeed, there was a significantly higher predatory fish abundance in the sanctuary zone compared to the non-sanctuary zone, which is a possible explanation for why we could be seeing less of those burrowing urchins in sanctuary zones. So I'll move on to the mole urchins, which again, I'm showing you the variables plotted against the abundance, but just notice here, the abundance goes from 0 to just over 200 individual urchins per 10 square meters. So that's almost three times as many. Now, they were largely distributed, predominantly on the slope, but the amount differed between the different regions, with the most being in Jarabi. There was, in some regions, a positive as the habitat was more rugose, there was more abundance, but that wasn't true for, say, offspring. So that's the interaction term. So I think in moving forward, what would be really interesting is to really get a good understanding of the microhabitat distribution of the mole urchins on the reef slope. And we have some ideas where we think they might occur in higher abundances, for example, in the grooves along the reef slope. And the reason it's so important to get a good understanding of their abundances and the distributions of these urchins is only then can we start to get an accurate understanding of their bioerosion rates and ultimately get a better understanding of how they're actually shaping the reef. So I just want to finish by thanking many people that have helped in developing this idea, both financially and logistically, statistically, and then just with great ideas to help develop.